بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد الأنبياء والمرسلين وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين أما بعد فإن أصدق الحديث كتاب الله وأحسن الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وشر الأمور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار وبالسنة المتصل إلى الشيخ الحافظ الحجة أمير المؤمنين في الحديث أبي عبد الله محمد بن إسماعيل بن إبراهيم بن المغيرة البردسبة الجعفي البخاري رحمهم الله ونفعنا بعلومه آمين أنه قال باب السهولة والسماحة في الشراء والبيع ومن طلب حقا فليطلبه في عفاف وبه قال حدثنا علي بن عياش قال حدثنا أبو غسان محمد بن مطرف قال حدثني محمد بن منكدر عن جابر بن عبد الله رضي الله عنه وأنهم أجمعين أن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم قال رحم الله رجلا سمحا إذا باع وإذا اشترى وإذا قتزى. Most respected elders and friends, once again, Almighty Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala has given us the tawfiq to resume our discussions on Islamic finance, business and economics. Our intention in these kind of discourses should be the ridwan and the pleasure of Almighty Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala. Allah tells us in the Quran Kareem, وَرِضْوَانٌ مِّنَ اللَّهِ أَكْبَرٌ. The pleasure of Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala is the greatest thing. So sitting in these kind of discourses with the pleasure of Almighty Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala will merit us and yield us the closeness to Almighty Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala. Our intention should also be, whatever we hear in these kind of discourses, to practice upon it and to bring it into a reality. Today's lessons, we'll be discussing three Tarjumatul Babs, three subject matters on Islamic finance, business and economics. The first is to be soft, kind and considerate in our dealings, in our buying, in our selling, in our demanding our rights, whether it is in purchases, in buying and selling, whether it is in leasing between the landlord and the tenant, or whether it could be a relationship between the employer and the employee. In all our dealings, to be kind and to be considerate. The second subject matter will be virtues on a person being kind and considerate in his dealings. And the third subject matter will be to be truthful and to be honest in our muamalat and our dealings. In the context of the third subject matter, to be truthful and honest in our dealings, let us consider a few points. The first is deception in advertisements. The second is label padding, which we'll discuss toward the end of the lesson. And the third is if a person happened to purchase a house, and it is probably a legal requirement that you get a electrical compliance certificate or a plumbing compliance certificate or a borrower's free certificate, then only the house can be sold, the house can be transferred. Now if a person happened to sell his house, and shortly thereafter, there were major electrical complications in his house. Or, within a week or two, he noticed there's boros in the house. Or there are major plumbing complications in the house. That a transaction has gone through, the transfer also went through. So what is the Sharia implications of such a deal? Now reverting to the first subject matter, Imam Bukhari rahmatullah alayhi says, this chapter is about being soft, to be overlooking in purchasing and in selling, and the issue is about when a person demands a haqq, a right from the next person, then he should demand it in a pure way. Imam Bukhari rahmatullah alayhi present the hadith of Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam narrated from Jabir ibn Abdullah radiallahu ta'ala anhu that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, may Allah's mercy be upon that person who is soft, who is kind when he sells, he's soft, he's kind when he purchases, he's soft and he's kind when he demands his haqq, when he demands his right. Now, to be soft when a person sells, it means that, for example, an item is marked at 1,000 rands. Now, if the purchaser asks the seller to be lenient, to give some discount, make it 950 rand, or make it 970 rand. Now, the seller is so adamant on his price that I've marked it 1,000 rand, I'm only going to sell you at that 1,000 rand, I'm not going to sell you for anything lesser than that. He's harsh, he's not considerate upon the purchaser. And for the purchaser to be kind, if for example an item is marked at 1,000 rands, now the purchaser tells to the seller that I'm going to buy it only for 900 rand. He takes undue advantage of the seller's desperation of selling the item and he secures the item for 900 against the wish and against the will of the seller. So that is contrary to the spirit that's mentioned in the hadith. Likewise, when a person makes a demand, let's say it is a creditor that's making a demand from the debtor, somebody owes him the money. Now he puts so much of pressure upon the person. The person probably is not in a good financial footing. The person is going through some financial difficulty and hardship. He's asking for leniency. He's asking for grace. He's asking for respite. He's saying that allow me to pay in installments. The person would take it none. And he would be very harsh upon his debtor. That is against the spirit of this hadith of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. There are many values in Islamic finance, in our muamalat, in our dealings. It is the values of a Muslim. How a Muslim is supposed to be conducting himself. And it is unfortunate to say that these values have now been imported and become the value systems of non-Muslims. So what was once our value system through which we could benefit, which made us that powerful dynamic ummah, those values have now been imported by non-Muslims and they are practicing upon it and they are getting the virtues of practicing on those values. Mufti Shafi Sahib Rahmatullah Alayh has mentioned a very thought-provoking statement. He says that Almighty Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala says in the Quran Kareem, وَقُلْ جَاءَ الْحَقِّ وَزَهَقَ الْبَاطِلِ إِنَّ الْبَاطِلَ كَانَ زَحُوقًا. Haqq, truthfulness, there's always good in it. And falsehood, there's always bad and evil in it. Now when we see a nation that is on haqq, Muslims, if there's a decline in them, there's a retrogression in them, it means he's doing something of falsehood in him. And if you see non-Muslims, people that are on falsehood, they are being successful and being prospering in something, it means that they are doing something good, something that is right. And when we look at the decline and retrogression of the Muslims, to a large extent, our muamalat and our dealings are not according to Shariat. Hazrat Mufti Taqi Usmani Sahib, he mentioned an incident, a personal incident of his, about the value systems in non-Muslims. He happened to take a flight from Heathrow Airport to Pakistan. So in Heathrow Airport, there are a lot of stalls. So while he came across one stall, the Encyclopedia Britannica. See, he was looking for a set of book called The Great Size, or a book to that name. So he saw a set of books there, and he told to the shopkeeper that he's looking for this book, how much you're selling it for. So it was quite expensive, but the shopkeeper told him that if you already have a set of this book, then we'll give you 50% off. So Hazrat Mufti Taqi Sahib said that I do have a set of this books, but I want another set. So the person said, okay, you already qualified for 50% discount. Mufti Taqi Sahib then asked him, how do you know that I have a set of this book? You just relied on my word? Say, I rely on your word. I go by it. And then the person took out his form and told him to sign it. And then at the ending, he asked for the credit card details. Now Mufti Taqi Sahib is in a doubt. See, if I'm going to put in my credit card details in there, and what if they take the money out of the bank, whether I'll get the set of book or won't get the set of books, I don't know. But he thought, I already made a promise. It's like unfair that I don't write it down. But he told a person that, what if I get this thing cheaper elsewhere? The price here was 40,000 rupees. They say, what if I get it cheaper elsewhere? So a person then told to Mufti Sahib that if you get it cheaper elsewhere, then we'll cancel the deal. Now on one side, the credit card details have been taken. You don't know whether they would take the money out or not. And on the other side, it's making a commitment. If you get it cheaper elsewhere, then we'll cancel this deal. See, he went, sat in the flight. And whole road he's been thinking, what if they take the money out? What if they take the money out? He went to Pakistan. The first thing he did, that immediately contacted the credit card company, the visa company, and told them that withhold payments, in case anything has to go wrong. Secondly, he told the person, go and search for this book and see if you can get it cheaper elsewhere. And to his surprise, whilst he was offered 50% discount in Heathrow Airport and the price of the books was 40,000 rupees, but without discount in Pakistan, he had it for 30,000 rupees, 10,000 rupees cheaper. Now, the person Heathrow Airport told him, following Wednesday, I will call you and I will ask you whether you got the books or not. So he said he waited. And exactly true to the word, true to the promise of that person, Wednesday, 12 o'clock, the person from Heathrow Airport, from Encyclopedia Britannica, phoned him up and asked him, sir, did you get the book? He said, yes, I got the book. He said, 30,000 rupees. I've got it for 10,000 rupees cheaper. The person told to Mufti Sahib, congratulations to you. That the commitment that you have made, we will cancel the deal. Now look at the truthfulness. Look at that honesty. Imagine if it was a Muslim day, what we would have done. So Allah give us tawfiq, Allah give us hidayat. In our muamalat, in our dealings, we should not deal with people in a way as though we are Qarun or Fir'aun or we Haman or we Shaddad. Shaddad is a person, in the books of history it is mentioned, very, very materialistic person. Once the angel of death was asked, you had such a difficult task in extracting the lives of people. At the time of extracting the lives of people, did you feel sorry for anyone? So the angel of death said that it's a duty I have to fulfill and execute this duty. But there were two instances in which I was very sorrowful upon extracting the lives of people. So a person asked him, which were the two instances? See, there was one woman that was conceived. She was in a remote land. She was about to give birth. And Almighty Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala instructed me that when that woman gives birth, upon giving birth, take away the life of the mother. So I thought to myself that the moment the woman gives birth to a child, the child is most in need of the mother. And if I'm going to take away the life of the mother, what's going to happen to a child? But it was the order of Allah, I had to execute it. The second instance, when you felt sorry, says, there was a king in Baghdad by the name of Shaddad. He was so rich, so wealthy. When somebody told him about the richness of Jannat, paradise, the bounty of Allah in paradise, so he thought to himself, I got so much of wealth, instead why should I wait for the palaces in paradise? I can prepare my paradise in this world. And he used all these resources in putting up beautiful palatial homes. When the appointed time came for him to go into his palatial home, Almighty Allah told me, take out his life. I felt sorry for him. He spent his whole life, all his resources, in putting up huge, huge palaces, and now his life must be taken away. It was taken, told to the angel of death, it was told to Malakul Maut, these two persons were the same and one person. The same person who the life of the mother was taken away and was left as a baby without any one to take care of. Almighty Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala made arrangement for him to be taken care of as a small child. He grew up, he became a king, and he had all these resources. And he became so materialistic, now he started opposing the palaces of Allah in Jannah. This is what happens to a person when money gets into your mind, and you think that in all your muamalat, in all your dealings, you must be only motivated by money and the richness of the world. And this is what Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam advises us. When we're dealing with people, we should be soft, we should be kind, we should be loving, and we should be compassionate. The second tarjumatul bab, subject matter, babu man andara musiran. This is the virtue about giving grace and respite to a person that is wealthy, he's got the financial means and ability to pay, but you still give him grace and you give him respite. In that, Imam Bukhari rahmatullahi alayhi quotes a hadith, قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم تلقت الملائكة الروح رجل ممن كان قبلكم فقالوا أعملت من الخير شيئا قال كنت آمر فتياني أن ينذروا ويتجاوزوا عن الموسر قال فتجاوز عنه. The translation of the hadith, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned about somebody, a person in the past. Talaqqatil malaika ruha rajulin. There was one person, he was on the last moment of his life in his dying bed. So an angel of death came and took his life away. Now, when they questioned him in the qabr, in the grave, he was asked, did you do any good? Apparently from other hadiths we understand, this person hadn't done any good. He wasn't like a pious person. He wasn't a person that would be a person that would frequent the masjid, make lots of zikr, make lots of tilawat of the Quran al-Kareem. It was just his muamalat, dealing and his business. So the angel asked him, did you do any good? So he said that I used to order my employees in the shop, in the business, in the company, a yunziru, that if a person, he is unable to make payments, then overlook him. وَيْتَجَاوَتُ عَنِ الْمُوسِرِ. And if a person is rich and wealthy, he's got the financial means and ability to pay, but due to some financial constraints right now, overlook him. So that's the instruction he gave to his employees, how to deal with people. So the Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi mentioned, فَتَجَاوَتُ عَنْهُ, that Almighty Allah Tabaraka instructed the Malaika to overlook this person. And in another hadith it is coming, wherein the person, he told to his employees, لَعَلَّ اللَّهُ أَيَّتَجَاوَذَ عَنَّا فَتَجَاوَذَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُ. Let us be kind, let us be compassionate to our clients, people that come in contact with us in our muamalat and our dealings. Maybe Almighty Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala will forgive, Almighty Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala will overlook. And it so happened when the person passed away, according to expectations of leniency from Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala, Almighty Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala forgave him, Almighty Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala overlooked him. From this we understand, in our muamalats, in our dealings, be soft with people, and don't just be, make it look as though that the world is everything, and you be only motivated by materialism. Consider human values, be kind and compassionate to person. Maybe Almighty Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala will be kind and compassionate and also forgive the person. Now before proceeding to a third subject matter, the narrator of this hadith is Hazrat Huzaifa radiallahu ta'ala anhu. In the books of hadith we understand, among the Sahaba there were five Huzaifas. And Huzaifa ibn Yaman himself, there were two Huzaifa ibn Yamans, one was Abasi and one was Azdi. Here, Imam Bukhari rahmatullah narrates a hadith from Huzaifa ibn Yaman, who is an Azdi person. He was a great illustrious Sahabi of Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. His father's name was Yaman. He was also a Sahabi. His brother's name was Safwan. He was also a Sahabi of Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They took part in the battle of Badr, or took part in the battle of Uhud. In the battle of Badr, they wanted to take part, but they were stopped by the enemies of Islam. And in all the remaining battles, they had taken part. Huzaifa radiallahu ta'ala is known as Sahibu Sirri Rasulillahi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, a Sahabi who knew the secrets of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had told him who the munafiqeen are. Umar radiallahu ta'ala would go to a janaza, and he would look around if Huzaifa radiallahu ta'ala was around. And if Huzaifa radiallahu ta'ala was around, he would join the janaza and perform salah. He knew that person wouldn't be a munafiq. And if you look around, you will see Huzaifa was not there, then he would think the person had passed away, the munafiq, Hadrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala would go away. Hadrat Huzaifa radiallahu ta'ala, he was appointed as the governor of Madain at the time of Umar radiallahu ta'ala, and in the 36th year after Hijrah, he had passed away. The third tarjumatul bab, third subject matter, is very, very important. Babun إِذَا بَيَّنَ الْبَيِّعَانِ وَلَمْ يَكْتُمَا وَنَسَحَا. This subject matter is about when two people dealing, they are clear on the matter. They do not conceal and they wish well for each other. Both of them dealing with each other, they wish well for each other. Both of them must benefit something in that. Imam Bukhari presents a hadith عن العداء ابن خالد قال كتب لي النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم هذا ما اشترى محمد رسول الله من العداء ابن خالد بيع المسلم المسلم لا داء ولا خبصة ولا غائلة. عداء ابن خالد رضي الله تعالى عنه says he once did a dealing with رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. Now imagine it's a deal between a prophet of Allah and a sahabi. But in spite of that, Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam told him to record that transaction, write down that transaction. Nowadays, many disputes take place, and it is just verbalized. And when a dispute takes place, it's one person's word against the other. Now nothing has been documented, there's no document to refer to govern the dispute. And this is very, very common. Most of the mediation and arbitration, commercial arbitration that we do at the Darul Ifta, it is based on this, that the people enter into big, big business transactions, and it is a verbal. When the dispute takes place, you ask, what's your proof? It is, this is what you said, this is what you said. You ask the other person, what was the understanding? This is what this person said, and this is what that person said. One person's word against the other. And there's no document where it could be recorded and where it could be documented. Now, according to Shariat, if any transaction where there's a potential of a dispute, then you have to avoid that. And to proceed with a transaction where there's a potential of a dispute, that is prohibited. Now, not recording a transaction, there's a great potential of a dispute in there, and therefore our ulama, especially in this zamana, in this era, they say it is wajib to record the transaction, irrespective of who you deal with. You may be dealing with your own children, you may be dealing with a family member, you may be dealing with a close bosom friend, but remember that you are friends today, but tomorrow a dispute takes place, your friendship is also going to end. So maintain your friendship and follow a principle of the Sharia, record your transaction. More so, because it is also the sunnah of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The hadith, imagine the Prophet of Allah dealing with the Sahabi, what fraud they can be, what deception they can be, yet the transaction between the Rasul of Allah and his Sahabi has been documented. So Khalid ibn Adda ibn Khalid says, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wrote for me, this is the document, this is what Muhammad Rasulullah has purchased from Adda ibn Khalid. So in this hadith we understand Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was a purchaser and Adda ibn Khalid was a seller. And the terms and condition of the transaction was bay'ul muslim al-muslim. This is a deal between a Muslim and a Muslim. This sums it all. Two Muslims are dealing with each other. Muslim is supposed to be truthful, supposed to be honest, he's supposed to be upright, and he's supposed to be wishing well for the next person. And so therefore, it's a transaction of a Muslim to a Muslim in which there's no deception. La da'a, the item that has been sold, no defect. La khubsata, the item that has been sold, it is not stolen. La ghailata, and in this transaction, there's no deception. These are the three terms and conditions that were made in the written document between Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the Sahabi. Qala Qatada, al-ghaila az-zina, was-sariqa wal-ibaq. Wa qila Ibrahim, ان بعد النخاسين يسمي آريا خراسان وسجستان فيقول جاء امس من خراسان وجاء اليوم من سجستان فكرهه كراهية شديدة. This Ibrahim Nakhai mentioned in explaining the subject matter to be truthful and honest in our dealings. In those days, there used to be people, they used to sell animals, animal agents. Like what happened Bakrid time, you get many people that are agents in selling animals. So in that time, the animal agents, they used to have certain stables for the animals. And outside the stable, they used to put up a board that this is the stable of the animals from Khurasan, or stable for the animals from Sajistan. Now, Khurasan and Sajistan in those days, they were known to be very popular by producing best animals. Now, what the people used to do, they used to get local animals, and they used to put it inside the stables, and people used to come and buy, they would think that this animal, it is from Khurasan, or this animal is from Sajistan. And the person would even say, when purchasers come and buy from them, yesterday this animal came from Khurasan, or just today this animal came from Sajistan. Whereas these are local animals, they put it there, and what the purchaser knows, where is he to see where the animal came from? And he sell it at a high exorbitant price, deceiving the people. And further to that, Uqba ibn Amir says, لَا يَحِلُّ لِإِمْرِئٍ أَن يَبِيعَ سِلْعَةً يَعْلَمْ أَنَّ بِهَا دَاءً إِلَّا أَخْبَرَهُ. Uqba ibn Amir radiallahu ta'ala says, it is not permissible for a person to sell an item when you know that there is a defect on it. When you sell it, you need to tell to the purchaser, you need to tell to a consumer that there is a defect in it. Nowadays people buy footstools, etc. But if the person specifically asks, yes, you're selling it footstools, but do you know of any defect in that? So no, I'm only selling it footstools. Take it as is. But if you know there's a defect, and that's what the person wants to know, then it is wajib upon you to tell that to the person. Anyway, we understand Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is reported to have mentioned in the next hadith, قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم البيعان بالخيار ما لم يتفرقا. That the purchaser and the seller, they will have an option until they do not separate. This is a subject matter we will be discussing later on. فإن صدقا, if both of them are truthful, the purchaser and the seller, وبينا, and both of them are clear, open, transparent in a transaction, بورك لهما في بيعهما, the both of them would be given barakah, blessings in the transaction. وإن كذبا, and if both of them spoke lies, وكتما, and both of them are concealed, did not divulge the reality of the item, محقت بركة بيعهما, then the barakah, the blessing in the transaction will be wiped out, it will be deleted. Now from this hadith we understand that barakah comes when a person is truthful and honest in his muamalat and his dealings. What is barakah? Just yesterday I came across a beautiful statement where somebody wrote, ma hiya al-barakah? What is barakah? And it is defined, hiya jundun khafiyyun min Allah. Yursiluha man yasha' min ibadihi. Barakah is actually a silent army of Almighty Allah tabarak wa ta'ala, and Allah sends the silent army to whosoever He wishes to. فَإِذَا حَلَّتْ فِي الْمَالِ, when barakah comes in mal, in your wealth, أَكْثَرَتْهُ, it increases it. Outwardly may be a little, but it will produce maximum results. وَفِي الْوَلَدْ أَصْلَحَتْهُ, barakah when it comes into your children, then it will reform your children. وَفِي الْجِسْمِ, and when barakah comes into your body, then قَوَتْهُ, it brings strength in your body. And وَفِي الْوَقْتِ Amaratu. And if barakah comes in your time, then it will increase your time, it will inhabit your time. And also wafil qalb as'adatu, when barakah comes into your heart, then it will make you a neck, it will make you a pious person, make you a fortunate person. Now, coming back to the questions that we have presented in the beginning, the 3 points on the issue of deception. Firstly, deception in advertisements. Nowadays advertisements are such, just for commercial gain, the way they will present it, it is just to draw the people to come and to catch the people and to sell your product. Just the other day on the highway, I read an advertisement. It states there that eat, play, and don't pay. Now go to any food outlet, go eat there, You got children, let them play there and don't pay and see what happens. Yes, of course, there could be an interpretation to that. That probably you don't have to pay for the children playing there. But the way it is presented, as though that the food will also be free of charge. Now, which food outlet is serving as a charitable organization that you can just go and eat there free of charge and not pay anything there? So this deception in advertisement, it is completely haram. It is prohibited. Now, some of the things that we noticed in deception in advertisements. Sometimes people will advertise and they wouldn't make it clear the contents of certain things. For example, a very common question we're receiving recently about items having carmine in it. Now, carmine is a type of an insect that comes out from Australia and New Zealand. It is cochineal. And that acid is taken out for purpose of color and it is put in food products. Or, very common, 90% of lipsticks, they have this carmine in it. Now, in the ingredient, it will never say that this is crushed insect. Nobody will buy it. But they'll use beautiful words and they will use the word carmine so that people don't know what it is. It's just the color. But where the color comes from, so that is, they present it in such a way that will deceive the people and make the people buy the item. The second thing is label padding. Now, this normally happens in food products. Sometimes you get shampoo and on the ingredient it will say there that it has berries in it, it has herbs in it, and yet the amount of berries and herbs is so minuscule that it has no impact on the health of the individual. But they just put it there and create the impression as though it is full of herbs, full of berries, and then if you buy this thing, it will be very good for your hair, very good for your body. Now, this is called label padding. This is also a kind of deception according to Sharia. To advertise in that particular way, it is not correct, it is not appropriate. Third issue, if a person happened to sell a house and he's got a electricity compliance certificate, or he's got a plumbing compliance certificate, or a borders free certificate. Shortly thereafter, there's a major problem with the electricity. The house has been transferred based on all that, but shortly thereafter, it was almost impossible from a practical point of view for a person to experience such major problems. And then after investigating the matter, getting experts involved in the matter, you come to know that there was a problem long time ago. And it's only the only possibility is that the person must have bribed somebody and he's got the compliance certificate in that. This is deception. And according to Sharia, if the person sold the house and he has been deceived in this way, this is called khiyar-e-ghabn. You have an option of being a victim of deception, which means you have all the right now to return the house. In an Islamic country, you can lay a complaint to a court and you can reverse the transaction. And probably in our country also, that if there's violation, you became a victim of deception, you can also have recourse, legal recourse, and you can also reverse the transaction. But apart from that, a Muslim will not deliberately do things like this. He will be truthful, he'll be honest, and he will have Allah conscious in him when he do his muamalat and his dealings. Very, very often I've repeated this hadith on the day of Qiyamah. لا تزول قدما ابن آدم حتى يسأل عن خمس. That on the day of Qiyamah, the feet of Ibn Adam will not move away until he's asked five questions. And from the five questions, two questions are, مِنْ أَيْنَ اِكْتَسَبْتَ الْمَالِ أَيْنَ أَنْفَقْتَ. Where did you earn your money from? How did you spend it? Our muamalat and our dealing, it forms two-fifths of the questions that will be asked by us in the court of Almighty Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala. So Allah give us the tawfiq and hidayah to be truthful, to be honest in our muamalat and our dealings, and to prepare ourselves in all our dealings. Ask ourselves that if I stand in the court of Allah, will I be able to answer Almighty Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala? And what if I'm scrutinized there? Then it can be a very dangerous situation. It's a matter of eternal destruction and disaster. Almighty Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala save us. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Subhanallah bihamdihi subhanakallahumma wa bihamdik. Nashhadu an la ilaha illa anta nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk.